afraid to travel. Suddenly, Iger was thrust into the awkward role of news editor. He pressed Weston on whether Williams had actually seen the tapes. All Williams had was the World Trade Center footage, and Iger argued that it was reckless to label Disney as a target when the government continued to insist there was no credible evidence that it was. But given the statements from Spanish prosecutors, Williams stood by his story. "Just treat us fairly," Iger pleaded. After delaying for 2 hours, ABC ran the footage of the World Trade Center and identified Disneyland as an Al-Qaeda objective. When Iger again confronted Ashcroft in the wake of the ABC broadcast, the FBI agreed to show the footage to Iger and other Disney executives. There were indeed scenes of Disneyland and various attractions, including Pirates of the Caribbean and The Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh. The voiceover was in Arabic, but the comments were innocuous and the scenes looked like standard tourist videos. Iger was annoyed with ABC News, since this was hardly what he would call surveillance, nor did it indicate that Disney was an Al-Qaeda objective. Still, the damage was done, and further coverage by ABC would only reinforce the impression that Disney might be a target. Despite Stanley Gold's concerns about an acquisition of Fox Family that included the Major League Baseball deal, when the proposed acquisition came before the board for approval, he and Roy both voted for it. In part, this was because they weren't prepared for a full breach with Eisner, and dissenting on such a cornerstone of the CEO's strategy for the company would have been a declaration of war. The pro forma financial statements prepared by Strategic Planning and Finance also impressed Gold. Even with the baseball deal, the financial projections showed 20% annual compounded growth easily within reach. To reach these numbers, Disney planners simply took the Fox Family results and superimposed over them the equivalent results for the most successful cable channels, such as the USA Network. The assumption was that Disney, with its marketing prowess, economies of scale, and programming skills, could bring Fox Family to those levels and beyond. As Eisner stressed to the board, "We know programming." This, of course, had been before September 11th. The terrorist attack, which had suddenly threatened the health of the global economy, may not have been precisely an act of God, but it was an unforeseen material change in circumstances that might have justified Disney's canceling the deal. While the precise economic impact couldn't be immediately foreseen, it was obviously substantial both for Disney itself and the Family Channel, which depended on advertisers and cable operators for its revenue. The stock market, after remaining closed for the duration of the week of September 11th, had reopened on Monday, September 17th, and reflecting a crisis in investor confidence, dropped nearly 700 points, a record in total points, though not as a percentage decline. Disney shares were hard hit, dropping from over $23 on September 10th to $19.25 when the market reopened. They continued their downward spiral the rest of the week, and by Thursday were below $17. The reasons were obvious. With its theme parks heavily dependent on air travel and consumer confidence, Disney faced a potentially serious decline in tourism. A remarkably strong advertising market had buoyed financial results at the